In 2009, a group of Kevin Smith fans converged on Brantford, Ontario, Canada. Sent there to play hockey, they soon discovered their mission was full of hijinks, shenanigans, and a whole lot of beer and poutine. Having survived their first year in the Great White North, they returned every year to continue the tradition. But in 2015, three of them decided to document their adventures, trials, and tribulations. If you have come to laugh, cry, or simply enjoy yourself at their expense, then you have come to the right place. You have come to Jim's Barbecue.
Hi, welcome to episode 11 of Jim's BBQ Podcast. I'm Mike.
I'm Jim.
And I'm Dylan.
How you guys doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Awesome. Good. Happy to be home from work.
Yeah, yeah, I hear definitely. That, man. I'm glad we're here. Glad we're doing this episode tonight.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/JimsBBQPod. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at JimsBBQPod. You can also email us at JimsBBQPod@gmail.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes.
Check out our fan cruise that we're talking about, or that we just revealed that we're going on next year. And, hey, Dylan, you mentioned before we started recording that you spilled beer into your macaroni and cheese. So what beer are you spilling into your macaroni and cheese tonight?
I'd actually just like to point out real quick that earlier in a conversation between the three of us, Jim, I think meant to say that you were like Kaiser Soze from The Usual Suspects, but obviously Edelston Ease strikes again and wrote, you're like Cider Soze.
Is that what it corrected it to?
Yes. And you didn't write even you are like you, like Y-O-apostrophe-R-E, you just wrote your.
See, the thing is I knew what he meant, and I feel like I often will end up correcting people too much, so I didn't even bother.
Oh, yeah. There's no point.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are you drinking? Are you drinking cider by any chance?
No, I'm not drinking any cider soze. I'm actually, we got some sample beers at work from a Canadian craft brewery called Muskoka.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've had their stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can get their stuff up in Brantford, Ontario when we go up there for the awesome Walter Gretzky Street Hockey Tournament.
Yeah, you're going to probably have to because this Muskoka cream ale is actually pretty good.
Right on.
I'm going to say this is like a good, it's not like, you know, there's anything super remarkable about it, but it's just, it's well-made beer. It's a good beer that tastes like beer, but good. And I appreciate beer like that.
Good beer, better good. Yeah, I like it. It's good.
Thanks, Jim.
Like the thing about Jim with the cider soze, wouldn't it be like an opportunity to drink something like make something called like a cider goze?
Well, I've had a beer called it kind of sounded like Kaiser. Oh, it was Geyser Goze. Geyser Goza. And I asked,
It was close to what I just implied then.
Pretty much, yeah, but he said It's actually not named after The Usual Suspects.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Kind of sounds that way.
Oh, yeah, great movie.
So, Jim, what are you pouring down your gullet this evening?
That's a great word.
It's kind of like catamaran. Get to use it anytime you can.
Catamaran comes out early tonight.
It did. I will be drinking my Sprecher's cream soda with maybe a Sprecher's orange cream. I don't know. I'm starting with the cream soda. We'll see what I move to next, either the cherry Sprecher's or the Sprecher's. But
one of these days, people, we'll get Jim to drink like one of those like fruity drinks, and he'll get drunk. He won't drink soda.
He did.
Oh yeah, he did.
The episode when I visited him, he was drinking the hard Sprecher's, if I'm not mistaken.
That Sprecher's,
that apple
really
pie,
good.
Yes, whatever it was. Yeah. Yeah. So he already did. He already did, Dylan.
I forgot.
So tonight I am drinking Avery Brewing's vanilla bean stout.
That sounds good.
Yes. It's stout with vanilla beans aged in bourbon barrels.
No way.
Yeah. Way.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fantastic.
It's got good vanilla.
Yeah.
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 And that's the show.
Yeah. And that's our podcast for this week.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a welcome to the Yaw podcast.
Hey, Dylan, you getting your hair cut?
I did get my hair cut.
Yeah?
Yeah. So, from what I've gathered, we have a special guest coming on this evening.
Yes.
We do.
Very special guest.
Evidently, I mean, we don't get too many of these, but we have a musical artist coming on.
Indeed, we do.
He was in a '90s. What's that?
I was going to say the iconic '90s grunge rock band.
Yeah, very.
Push and Turn. Didn't quite make Big Four level, but, you know, they're kind of like that post-Big Four area, you know?
Right.
Either way, phenomenal.
Oh, so yeah. Good.
I mean, you got to know their song Passport to Sorrow, right?
Absolutely.
It's what I wake up to every day.
Is it really?
If it's not Dream Theater, it's that.
Yeah, if it's not Dream Theater, it's that.
If it's not Dream Theater or Morrissey or...
Morrissey? Where'd Morrissey come from? I don't...
Or Selena.
Selena?
Or Carlos Santana.
Right. Hey, I just got a message from our guest. I said we're doing the intro and introing him. He goes, I want to hear what you guys are selling, so let's get him on here.
Well, you can't forget also, I mean, he was the lead vocalist for this, for Push and Turn.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's very important to note.
So,
yeah,
I mean, he's come back from the edge. I mean, he had songs like Passport to Sorrow, like we mentioned, and he was so tortured and everything, but he's come back from that, and now he's a lot more positive. So let's bring him on.
All right, let's get him. Hold on one second.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Jeff Quigley.
Hey!
Oh, hey!
Hey!
All right, that's the podcast. See you later.
Hey!
Hey, thanks for trying to join in the show, Jeff, but we'll have some time for you next week.
Yeah. All right, see you later. Bye.
Well, we already did the intro. Jeff is now connected, and... we're going to badger and question the fuck out of him. So
I'm sorry, man. Like, I'm totally technology fucking crippled.
It's good because whatever you can't do in technology, you more than make up for artistic ability.
Well, Jeff, welcome.
First of all, can you fucking hear me?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You sound like you might be crippled in the throat, too. You're coughing a lot.
Oh, yeah, that's just residual from Sundance, man.
You're still getting over the cold that you had?
Oh, man, like that cold I got from Sundance was crazy. I was like 4 days in bed after that. I guess that's what happens when you don't fucking work with anybody and socialize with anybody, and then you get onto a plane and go someplace where there's thousands of people. Yeah, that's just
it. That'll do it.
That'll do it, man. So, yeah.
Which is one of the things we want to talk to you about.
But
the adventures of Sundance and what got you there and leading up to it or whatever. But I know you've got a few things sketched out there, Mike, if you want to.
Sure, but let's first welcome Jeff to Jim's BBQ podcast.
Yeah, welcome, Jeff.
Yeah. We gave a brief intro resume type deal like before we brought you on, so... Everybody knows all about you now, so we'll get right into it. So I kind of Jim presented that you were going to be on today, and I was like, you know, I really don't know a lot about Jeff. I met him once in Burlington, Ontario, I believe, and it was very brief. I wanted to just get an idea about you.
Sure.
Who you are, what you do.
Yeah, who the fuck are you, dude?
Well, shoot, let me know what you want to know.
Okay, well, tell you what, I mean, I've seen a lot of your artwork, and it's really cool and everything, but what I want to know is how in the world did you get hooked up with Jim?
That sounds dirty.
Well, I meant like as far as doing the jerseys and all this artwork and all this stuff. How did Jim find you?
Is that what you call it, doing the jersey?
Doing the dirty jersey.
What, you're in Nova Scotia? Is that right?
Yeah, I'm in Nova Scotia, Canada, man. I'm like and way out here.
Musket Harbor.
Musket-dabit. If anyone even wants to try and pronounce it the way it's spelled, forget it. But it's called Musket-dabit Harbor.
Okay. And Jim's in Ohio, so worlds apart.
Well, kind of, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, or a ways apart.
I think the way it happened is Jim kind of just out of the blue emailed me, and it's only after he emailed me and I think he might have saw some of the stuff that I did for Smodcast 200 out here, which was 4 years ago tonight.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so Smodcast 200 was either 2 years or 4 years ago tonight or something like that. But, you know, like Kev came out and he kind of did this whirlwind tour of Nova Scotia. And he had like three or four gigs. And, you know, I've always been a huge fan, obviously. So when Kevin came out here, it's like, holy shit, Kevin Smith's coming to Nova Scotia. We're big time, baby. And
he's like the first famous person to ever visit Nova Scotia.
Yeah, fucking Anne Murray. Anne Murray fucking like it was like, hey, I give up everything. Kevin Smith's coming to town.
Like maybe like Cheap Trick toured there in like the '80s.
Yeah, had nothing to do. Cheap Trick, who? The night after Deep Purple played here, but it doesn't really matter. For me, it was Kevin Smith, man, and I kind of just went, I got to do up a fan poster, you know, and that's what I did. I did up a fan poster, got it backstage. Malcolm was the guy that got it backstage for me and got it signed. I'm like, cool, thing off my bucket list. That's exactly what I got to do.
Right on.
I think I don't even know how long it was after that. You know, I posted it and kind of did a little review about it on my website. And then suddenly, like a year later, I think this fucking weirdo from Ohio.
Yeah, he is.
It's like, hey, I'm really big with the Kevin Smith stuff, and I kind of rule everything Kevin Smith does. Would you be interested? And I'm like,
wait a minute,
absolutely,
a minute.
Man.
Is that really what you took away from that?
yeah, man. Like seriously.
Jim, I was gonna ask, is that really how like Jim sounds? I've never heard him talk like that.
I was gonna ask you if that's how you hear one.
I mean, he actually sounded coherent.
He sounds like a douchebag too.
But yeah, man. Like Jim came off as like the. Like the rep for Kevin Smith, and I'm like, yeah, fuck, man, I'll do anything you want. Tell me what you need done. And then it was only like 2 years later that I realized, like, who the hell is this flake?
Dude, if it took you that long.
yeah, but man, I, you know.
Okay, Jim, so that makes a lot of sense. So he saw some of your fan artwork online and kind of tracked you down then.
Yeah.
Jim's a bit stalkerish that way.
Didn't realize it at the point, but hey, you know, I've shared hotel rooms with the guy now since then, so it's there's all kinds of crazy stories.
There you go.
Now, actually, here it is, right here. Actually, wow, that's fucked up. Almost 2 years ago.
He's like, it's like Jeff. It's actually a lot worse than
you. Yeah, 2/27/14 to Jeff Quigley. Jeff, hello. I ran across your website and posters you did for Smod and Halifax. We are a hockey league that was started by Kevin 5 years ago, and we kept it going after Kevin stopped playing after 3 years. We play for charity and participate in the Walter Gretzky Street Hockey Tournament every year. I was looking at your work and really like it. We are in need of some hockey jersey designs. I'm not sure what your availability is or what your pricing is, but I would like to try to work something out. Let me know either way, please. Our website is fashal.com if you want to check us out. Thanks, Jim.
P.S. I've attached a picture of myself in the shower so you can check me out.
Nice.
And I sent him that picture of that guy that sent a naked picture to you, Dylan.
the guy with the dick.
Did you actually go back and research this, man, and say this is the email I sent Quigley?
No, I didn't think of it until you were like, he said that black. I actually, it was still in my.
Jim has got that shit at the ready.
Yeah,
he printed out all correspondence. He had it.
Jim never
you know,
wants
tabbed
to
and yeah, I mean, no. I mean,
only thing I'm organized in life with is hockey jerseys. Past that, you can fucking forget it. So here is the,
he can't even support his own podcast.
So I get back very quickly, I might add too.
Quigley.
There you go. I'd love to find out more info on what you're looking for.
Email me more info on what your
needs are, and we can set up a call. Looking forward to chatting. Thanks, Jeff.
Hey now.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
It's like you guys hooked up like on OK Cupid or something.
I was just gonna say this was pre-Tinder.
Grindr, perhaps.
Okay, keep going. I'm intrigued, man. Keep telling me about how I.
So he's just gonna read like an email thread on the podcast.
We're not gonna do that.
Yeah, Jim's just going to keep reading ejaculate emails.
Yeah.
So, man, like, what else do you want to know, Jim?
You mentioned you were a fan of Kevin, and I always like to ask this question, and it often gets asked in this circle, like whether it's the street hockey or you're just a VSQ fan. What was your gateway Kevin movie?
Wow. You know what? And I got a definitive answer for this. You know, we all love Clerks. We all loved everything that led up to it and what spawned it. But as a kid in high school, going to a Catholic high school, Dogma was the movie that sealed it for me. And Dogma was still really, really before the internet and anything like that. So I can remember my wife and I, we were watching Dogma. I don't even know if we were actually married at this point in time, but I can remember we were sitting in our apartment and we were still really young. And I can remember watching Dogma on VHS. We rented it and I went, holy shit, I get it. This speaks to me, you know, as a kid that went to Catholic high school and the whole thing. It was just one of these things that went just the whole Dogma aspect of, you know, just everything about the movie just spoke to me. And I'm like, oh, fuck, it makes sense. And you know what? Maybe it's actually not a fucking stupid question to ask about the gospel according to Christ. You know, that whole thing just kind of resonated with me. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. It's a fucked up, stupid movie, but that's Kevin Smith and I get it. So that's kind of the turning point for me when it came to, you know, how I was going to, whether or not I followed the dude or not. I've never been a podcast guy, as you can tell, because it took me 45 fucking minutes to log on and get into here with you. But that movie to me was something that resonated.
Well, that's the important thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know,
was that your first one, or were there ones before that you had seen, or had you seen all the previous ones?
You know, we've seen all the previous Kevin movies, like Clerks and everything else before that. Right. And you know, they're all okay, awesome.
But it's that one that spoke to you.
Like them, but that was the one that said to me, you know what? I think that what Kevin is saying is a movie maker resonates with me, so therefore I will keep following them. And you know, everybody has a different take on everything that Kevin has done. Some people like it, some people don't, some people follow, some people kind of don't. And but that's the beauty of what, you know, filmmaking is. You know, everybody has that right to say, I'm going to follow this guy every fucking day of my life. And for me, it wasn't that. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to keep in contact, and I'm going to keep an eye out on what's going on. And there was a bit of a down point where Kevin got out of movies, that I didn't follow him as much. Like I said, I wasn't one of these guys that were on the blogs. I wasn't, you know, in the podcasts or anything like that. And it was only after a while that I kind of jumped back on and went, wow, Kevin's doing some good stuff again. And so here we are. Here we are right now talking with you guys, man. And it's, you know, that's the way it is.
Right on.
If that made any fucking sense whatsoever.
Oh, yeah. No, it absolutely did.
Yeah, I think we all have similar stories.
Sure.
Dude, it made way more sense than pretty much anything Jim says.
Man, brutal.
even with the little bit of accent that you do have.
I don't have much of an accent. Come on.
Yeah, you're
yeah, yes you do.
It still made far more sense than Jim.
It's not my accent is nowhere near the accent in Yoga Hosers.
What's that, a boot?
And a boot and sorry, sorry.
Well, speaking of Yoga Hosers, you recently collaborated with Kevin to make a comic book leading up to the movie as like a prequel story. How the hell did you get involved in that?
Man, that is probably to date the coolest thing that's ever happened to me.
Wait a minute, I thought me emailing you 2 years ago was.
Well... There's
I picked the wrong time to take a huge swig of beer.
there's definitely different degrees of awesomeness. Jim, yours is definitely there. You know, we both have mutual respect for that.
Yeah, but not each other, that's for sure.
But the Yoga Hosers thing came about, you know, It was spawned because I wanted to do something because I heard of the whole Yoga Hosers project. And there wasn't much out there online to give me any kind of reference. There was a few, you know, if I 6 months ago, if I Googled Yoga Hosers, there was a few photos that I could see. One was... you know, the one that we've all seen with Harley Quinn and Lily Rose behind the counter of the A to Z. So that was obvious. But getting more research and trying to dig a little deeper, I found out that there was a scene where they were all handcuffed together, the three of them. So I wasn't sure what the storyline where it was taking us, but I thought, okay, you know what? I'll do a cartoon character, or I'll do a cartoon sketch, and that's what I did. You know, I was sitting on a conference call one day. I was bored, and it was going into 2 hours long, and I just started pencil sketching something now. And then that weekend, I went, oh, I'm going to make this. I'm going to develop this, and that's where the whole Yoga Hosers cartoon kind of poster came up with. So I put it up my Instagram account, threw it out there, and it had been floating around probably for 3 or 4 months. The day that Kevin saw it was Christmas Eve. Oh, wow. I don't know if he might have seen it beforehand or whatever, but the day on my Instagram account that he said, wow, I like this, was Christmas Eve. And it was a tough Christmas Eve for us. We had to put our dog down. You know, it was just all in all a shitty friggin' Christmas Eve for our family. So that kind of little, you know, hey, Kevin Smith likes your Yoga Hosers kind of Instagram kind of feed kind of really made me feel cool. You know, I felt good about it. And, you know, the next day, Christmas Day, and then Christmas or Boxing Day, as it's known here in Canada, you know, December 26th. I'm standing. It's real for Nova Scotia, Canada. It's really friggin' weird that it's you can stand outside in your deck in shorts and not be freezing. So I remember we were standing outside with friends of ours on Boxing Day, which is December 26th, and my phone vibrates, and I look down, and it's like, all right, who's fucking with me? You know, I look down, and it's like, Kevin Smith, hey, Quig, got a job for you. Email me at this, and, let me know if you can do it. And I'm like, what? Seriously? So, yeah, man, and that was it. Boxing Day, Christmas Eve, or day after Christmas, get a text message from Instagram from Kevin saying, I want to do a job. And that's how it happened. It was crazy.
That's pretty cool. So you took the, went from there and what was it, like a 2 week? It wasn't even 2 weeks that you had to get the entire comic done, right?
No, it was crazy. Kevin sent me an email detailing what his ideas were. And he's like, I want to do a backstory. I want to do a backstory on the two Colleens, and I want to give this out as a comic book, kind of an origin story, at Sundance. And I'm like, okay, yeah, okay, that, no big deal. When's Sundance again? He's like, Sundance is like the 23rd of January. I'm like, oh, all right, man, that's cool. This has never been done before. He sends me the first idea. He's like, okay, I'll get you the script. I'm writing it now, and that was on the 26th. That was a Saturday. The 27th, which is a Sunday, I was in the city of Halifax getting supplies because I knew I had to get everything done. I was buying tracing paper. I was buying art paper. I was buying pencils. I was buying inks. I was doing everything I could to get everything in place because I knew that this was going to fall and it was going to fall hard. Kevin sent me the script Sunday night, and Monday I started doing the rough blueprints. But I only had the first 10 pages. I didn't even know what the final 10 pages were going to be. So Monday started roughing out the blues and went from there. You know, it was so simplistic. It was roughing out blueprints, shooting, photos with my phone, texting them to Kevin, and Kevin saying, love it, or no, let's rework this shot. And I got to admit, Kevin gave me pretty much carte blanche on everything. He only had a couple small edits, and one of them was the transition between the two Colleens when they were young to when they were in high school. And that was one of the only things that he really, really pushed back on and made sure that that he wanted to have control over. Other than that, he basically let me art direct this whole thing, you know, even to the point where it was like dealing with dime. So it was super cool, man. Like he was super professional, and he just let me run with it.
So we'll have to put a picture up of the art that you did on the Facebook page, but since it's a graphic of yours, of course I'm organized with it. The Kevin Smith tweet, or not tweeted, Instagram. I love this at Jeff Quigley hashtag yoga hosers piece so much that I wrote a 20-page one shot screen origin comic because of it. If it all goes well, I want to give it out at our Sundance 2016 premiere next month, and I just hired Jeff to draw it. See, kids, art begets art, and sometimes art begets a paying gig too.
So that was you actually seen that right before you gave it the thumbs up too, didn't you? You said.
Yeah, I hadn't even responded to Kevin yet, saying, yeah, you know, I think this is a good idea. And I replied to him on Instagram saying, well, I guess we're doing a comic, man. You just blew up my Twitter feed. And, you know, you basically just put it out there that we're doing this. So, you know, I don't have any choice. I'm going to do it. And, you know, I think that might have been even a better thing that he could have, because at first I was a little weary whether or not I could do it. I was really scared that I couldn't do it. And when you're scared that you're not going to be able to do it, you know, you kind of just default back into, no, you know what? I can't do it. It's not going to happen. But wow, it was a cool idea. And I never had that opportunity to actually decline, because Kevin went out and said, Quigley's doing this. And I'm like, well, I can't let the dude down. And when we were at Sundance, Kevin was on stage and he brought all the actors up, and somebody had asked a question about why so many people were involved with this. And I think it was Garmin that said, you know, when Kevin Smith asks you to do something, you don't say no, because you know it's going to be a fun ride. And when we were backstage after Sundance, I talked to Ralph Garmin about that. And I'm like, you know what? It's really, that's exactly the way I felt. It's like, although I wasn't sure that I might be able to do this and pull this off, but there was no way I could say no to it. And Garmin was the first one to say to me, you know, you did this in 5 days, man. This is a huge arrow in your quiver. And he was really, really cool about the whole thing. So, you know, it's definitely rewarding that way, you know. Now, yeah. I know Jim was there with us, and he was there. My kid was there. Even Daryl was there. And, you know, it was just a really mind-blowing experience to even be in this situation. So, yeah.
One of the things I was going to comment when you were talking about that is what I've seen over the years with Kevin is when he gets enthusiastic about something, he gets really enthusiastic about it. Like it's everything and anything that he wants to do, he'll do it, because it's such a huge passion to him, whether it's street hockey or podcasting or movie making or whatever it is. Once he gets that bug in him, it's full bore.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, New Year's Day, you know, we were in the depths of getting this comic book done, and we were working back and forth. And this is, you know, if you go back and you look at some of Kevin's podcasts, or even on Fat Man on Batman, he talks about, you know, New Year's Day, he gets up and he walks up the hill in California where he's like, I've never been able to do this before, but it was great. You know, and I conquered demons and stuff like that. Just before that, which is really friggin' weird, is that he's texting me back and forth, and he's like, dude, I don't know if you understand this, but your artwork inspired me to do something and get off my ass and work with you. And now you're just as involved in this Yoga Hosers premiere as everybody else in the cast. And he went on to, you know, to say some really other nice things. And it, for me, it was just, wow. You know, here we are sitting on New Year's Day, and I'm getting text messages from a guy that has inspired me in my life for many, many years. And he's saying that what I've done has inspired him, and that I'm a big part of something that he's been really sinking his passion into. I just can't stress how much that was surreal to me. You know, it was just one of these really odd moments in my life where I went, wow, you know, this is just incredible. And now that Sundance is over, we've you know, I flew out there with my kid. We experienced Sundance together. We got backstage. We were doing the green room stuff. We met some of everybody. We met so many people. It's just one of those things where it's like, wow, very cool. If that's the 15 minutes, then that's cool.
Yeah, definitely a very cool journey. It was funny because I remember at one point too how you said about the, you know, being part of it and everything. I'm like, oh man, that's gonna be awesome if he calls you up and like does an intro with you or whatever. And you're like, oh my god, you think he's gonna do that? And I was like, that'd be awesome if he did. And you're like, man, if he does, I'm gonna shit myself.
Yeah.
You know, but it was so funny. Like after we went and seen the show on Monday, because that's when I went to go see it, was the Monday 8:30 show with you. And, you know, he mentioned you and everything like that. And it was awesome being there for to share in your moment, you know, saying, hey, this is a buddy of mine, man. Like, look what he accomplished. And, you know, it just was so cool to be there to share in your moment. And I think the funniest part, and I don't know if it's funny, surreal, whatever, that really hit me, like what you really did, because it just, I don't know, it happened so fast. And I think Sundance itself was just mind-blowing, let alone thinking, you know, it was amazing. People everywhere. I think Sunday it took us like 2 hours to find a parking place.
Yeah, it was something crazy.
And it just, Sundance itself was nuts. It was very cool. Crossed it off the bucket list. But I don't think it really truly hit me. I mean, and don't get me wrong, you know how much I've loved your artwork and everything like that. So it's it just goes to show you how much of a whirlwind the whole Sundance was, and being able to ride along with you for it was amazing. So thank you. But when we got into the tent after the 8:30 showing, and I apologize to the guys because I obviously am not a teenager and don't watch what they're in right now. But the two guys that were in the movie,
Tyler and Austin.
Yes. And they came over to me and they were like, dude, do you got more comic books? And I'm like, yeah, why? And they're like, we didn't get one. We want one. And I just thought it was really cool that two of the dudes that were in the movie, like, you know, in it were asking for it, that, you know, that, like you said, it was part of everything that went on there. So,
yeah, well, that was also really what was very
and they're like, are you Jeff Quigley? You're like, no. They're like, oh, fuck you guys. Yeah.
They're like, well, what the fuck you got there? You got some comics in there? Where's he at?
Well, what did
it go, comics, bitch. Give me some comics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And exactly. What had happened is that we walked into the green room and everybody's kind of mulling around and talking. And the really cool thing is, as soon as I walked in, Kevin went, all right, everybody, I want everybody to stop. This is Quigley. This is the guy that did the comic book. And, you know, that was kind of cool. You know, there was probably 25 to 30 people in there, and most of them were people of, you know, that were, you know, the stars of the movie. So my oldest, Liam, who I brought with me, who contributed to the comic, you know, I turn around and he's standing there just laughing and shooting the shit with with Tyler Posey. And I'm like, I have no idea who Tyler Posey was. I didn't know he was the new Teen Wolf or anything like that. But anyway, so these two guys are talking, and I turn around. I'm like, hey, man, I really thought you were awesome in this movie. You know, you did a good job, you know, being all parental and trying to be, you know, hey, you did a good job. And he's like, well, thanks, man. And I said, would you sign a copy of the comic for me? And he's like, well, why? And I said, well, you're in it. And the look on his face, man, he just completely went, I'm in a fucking comic? Oh, what? And he's freaking out. And he's like, show me the pages that I'm in it. I'm, you know, leafing through the pages. And he's like, no fucking way. And he's like, and he was just freaking out that he was in a comic. I'm like, dude, you realize that you were just in a movie in Sundance. Yeah, but a comic, dude, a comic. So, you know, he signed a copy of my copy. He signed my copy, and I signed his, and, you know, it was kind of cool like that. You know,
you guys
like, oh, my God.
Jeff, you guys traded addresses so you can be pen pals?
Absolutely, man. And the one good thing about it is I got home. I checked in with him on Instagram, and he was as sick as a dog as well. So I'm like, cool. Yeah, you better not have been me, you that gave me this sickness, man. But that was the way it was. And Austin Butler was another great kid, man. All of them were super, super talented and really, really super nice kids.
The one thing I was curious about is, and like you mentioned earlier, like where you had like, you know, like the picture of the girls. How were you informed for like the rest of the comic of what to draw? Like, did you see imagery from the movie or something else? Or did you just kind of just get an idea of what the person looked like and drew it from there?
No.
Or are you at liberty to say?
Oh, no, I'm yeah.
Oh, okay.
No problem saying. When Kev came to me and said, you know, we're going to do kind of a prequel, the first thing I said, well, I need to see the film. And I was given access through, it was through Vimeo. There was right. a password. I got the password. I was able to watch the movie three times to get some ideas of it. So even before I went to Sundance or anything like that, I'd already seen the film.
All right.
And you know, that was kind of a privilege for me too, because, you know, Kev's like even like saying, how'd you like it? You know, what did you think of it? And what do you know, he was asking me certain things about this scene and that scene. And I'm like, yeah, man, it's definitely a Kevin Smith film. It for me always has been, you know, after I watched Tusk at, where did we see that, Jim? That was a Toronto film.
Jeff, yeah.
It was up in Toronto when we first saw that. I can remember when the lights came up, I'm like, what the fuck did we just
So watch that was it? Your first date with Jim?
Yeah, no, actually, yeah, I've had a few dates. Yeah, was that our first date?
Yeah, well, I mean, I picked you up at the airport before that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe that was our first real Kevin Smith movie date. But
I mean, like when he had when he picked you up at the airport, did he at least have flowers for you?
No, he had Daryl.
Oh God.
Sorry, man.
That sucks.
I didn't even get to sit up front, man, because the commish always sits up front.
Well, here's a good question. And Mike and I can both.
Jesus, did you forget who was on the podcast with
No,
you?
I got my tongue tied. Shut up, man. Come on, man.
He's an awe by Quigley. He doesn't know how to talk.
Yeah, I can't deal with the guy from Push and Turn. Anyway, now I completely lost my train of thought. Oh, right. So Mike and you guys are the worst. So Mike and I are both kind of, you know, privy to situations like this, but Jim's driving. Just give me your thoughts on it, Jeff.
Come on, man. You've seen some of my posts.
I mean, on a scale of like, you know, Sunday morning grandma to like, crazy taxi, where is he?
I've got a 17-year-old son who hasn't even got his license yet, and he refuses to drive with Jim ever again.
That's awesome.
I meant to ask you that, and I kept forgetting what Liam told you when you got home.
Literally,
to God, we went down some one-way streets. You know, I just can't understand how you can have seven lanes of one-way streets and you can go down all of them the wrong way.
When you get in a car with Jim, that's how.
Yeah, I got you know what? God love Jim, man. For you know, he chauffeurs us everywhere, but we take our lives into our own hands. It's definitely a. You want to be a designated driver and you want to have a few drinks, you know, that's
the price.
That's the price you pay if Jim's driving.
I think the funniest one where I was even hesitant though, and I don't remember what it was, but that, I don't think it was a full freeway or whatever, but that road, that was, you would turn off to go to the Marriott, and we were going down, and I passed the first one where the Marriott was, and I passed the second entrance to whatever it was. And you're like, just make a U-turn right here. And I like looked around and I'm like, seriously? And you're like, just do it. I was like, right there, just made a U-turn. I mean, it was more than a 4-lane road, wasn't it? I just turned around right there.
I don't know what he did.
Did you have to give Daryl his heart medication after that?
We were coming down some of the Park City's up in the mountains, right? What time did you come back and get me and Liam, Jim? It must have been like 3 in the morning. And the roads are greasy. And Jim's like, I gotta get us back to the hotel. He's like doing 90 miles an hour, and I'm like, man, all you gotta do is just turn the wheel the wrong way, and we're over this cliff. No, Jim, drive on.
What's fucked up about that though? I remember.
Besides your driving,
yes, I did. I kept looking at my speed the whole time or whatever because. They had those electronic speed limit signs on the side, which I'm guessing because of the mountains and the weather conditions, they just electronically changed somewhere else or whatnot. Dude, that car we were in, it felt like you were going like 100 miles an hour, even at 40.
Sure.
I'll tell you, I still got to go check them out. We had a Jeep Grand Cherokee. I friggin' fell in love with the car while we were there for 3 days, but might actually get one if I can work it all out, but... Car rode so good. I'm telling you. I mean, I think at one point I was going a little over 60, and I'm like, holy shit, I'm flying. And I looked, and I wasn't even at 65 yet.
So Jim's shooting now, not only for Spreckers, he's shooting for like a Jeep sponsorship for the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I got the Patriot and loved the hell out of that vehicle, but my God. And the heating steering wheel was so nice.
My God.
Oh my God.
Don't you know?
Oh my God, guys! Oh yeah. God,
yeah.
Oh Jesus, we love you, Jim.
It definitely was an awesome trip. I mean, it was so cool, and like I said, just being there to see it all. And
well, you know, I got to admit, when we all decided we're going to go to Sundance, I'm like, that's so cool. We're all going to go to Sundance, and you know. I had reached out to Kevin's person saying, you know, I'd love to be able to secure 4 tickets and never heard anything back. So, you know, what was it, Jim? It was probably like within a week that I'm like, before we had to actually travel, that I was like, I can only get 2 tickets, guys.
I think it was a Saturday before. I mean, we had everything completely booked.
Yeah. Everything was booked. And, nice. And I'm like, holy crap. Jim's, I got... You know, I've got guaranteed 2 tickets for me and my kid. But only after Jim and Daryl booked did they say, you know, did I get word back that we might not have enough tickets. And it's only after I realized the insanity of Sundance that nobody has tickets.
Yeah.
And we were lucky to get that. So our sleuth minds came up with, we're going to hand out comic books and we're just going to walk in. And it worked to a certain point where they handed out the comic. Jim and Daryl passed out comic books, but then weren't allowed in the first night. I'm like, oh man, this just sucks. Yeah. These guys traveled halfway across the country to be with me and see Yoga Hosers, and it's not going to happen. And the first night was just that was just crazy with the snowstorm and everything.
Yeah, it was insane. We could have probably got in if we really would have pushed it. It's just the thing there too is you know, especially since, you know, we handed them out pre-show Sunday and Monday, you know, and talking to the people that work there and everything. Sundance is almost fully done by volunteers. And, you know, I was talking to the one girl, actually, this is a girl that I told you I would have hooked you up with if, you know, you guys didn't live on opposite ends of the country, Dylan.
Oh, okay.
I was like, so, you know, what's the attraction to come work here then if it's all volunteer? And she's like, we get these awesome jackets, which they were, you know, friggin' sweet jackets. I can't remember who made them, but they were, you know, designer jackets or whatever, real expensive. They got to go in and out of all the shows and stuff like that when they weren't working and everything. So, you know, basically there's me and Daryl, you know, like, you know, we could have pushed it and probably got in there, but you know, she's like, yeah, I'll definitely walk you over and make sure you get in. Because one of the guys earlier, he came out from the production crew, came out to get me. And he's like, there's people inside that didn't get them that were already there. He goes, can you grab like a box or a huge handful and come in with me and hand them out? And I'm actually with them and like going to walk through the one gate thing. And a dude from Sundance like sticks his arm out and hits my shoulder with it. And he's like, where are you going? I was like, with him. He's like, not without a ticket. And the guy goes, come on, dude, he's holding a stack of comic books for the movie here. So, you know, we're not, he's like, nope. And I'm like, here, you know, I said, if you want to take them in, just take them in and make sure they get them. He's like, okay, you know, you don't mind it. I'm like, no, they, you know, I just want to make sure they get them. So, you know, here's all these volunteers and all these people, basically. You know, the girl's like, I'll definitely get you in there. She goes, I don't know, you know, there's no seat, so you don't have nowhere to sit. And, you know, there's a good chance somebody's going to come over and ask you what you're doing there, blah, 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 blah. And it was like, at that point, it's like, you know, I'm not stressing out or you know, asking a volunteer there that, you know, has no idea what's going on or, you know, trying to do what they need to do. You know, and we were like, we'll just take them back with us. And she's like, you sure? So, you know, and we ended up throwing them in the car, the remaining ones, and going on our way after that or whatever. But, I mean, I know you were stressing over it, Jeff. We got to see it at 8:30 on Monday. It wasn't a big deal. It was, you know, seeing it twice in 24 hours, you know, would have been cool. But it happened, and we got to see it. That's, you know, we all wanted to go out, have a good time, share your moments, see it, and then we accomplished it. And I just didn't want to give somebody grief that was just there to have a good time, too, and it just didn't make sense.
Yeah, well, it was definitely a fun time. And the way we just rolled up, because short story was that we rolled into Park City on Monday night. We weren't really sure what was going to happen. So we just went back. We didn't even know if we could find a place to park, where we were going to park, how we were going to get down to the theater. So we just kind of said, you know what? Screw it. We're just going to pretend that we were supposed to be there. We rolled into the parking lot, rolled down the window, and we just looked and said, yeah, we're handing out the comics tonight. And the guy went, yeah, okay. Parked down the back. And we went all the way down to the back parking lot. We walked in through the backstage. We hung out with everybody that was, you know, letting people in. And Daryl and Jim just took up guard on both sides of the door, handing out comic books. And it was like, why didn't we just do this the first time?
Yeah, it was Rockstar that night.
Yeah, that was awesome the way that happened. And then, you know, afterwards, you know, Kev gave a nice shout out. After the, during the Q&A, he's like, you know, one of the last things he said, was the involvement with the comic and stuff like that. And then getting backstage with everybody, with the guys and, bringing Jim and Daryl back with us as well, was awesome. You know, Kev's even like, hey man, you want to see the Moose Jaw script? I'll shoot that your way. Yeah, it was just really surreal. And
so, is he prepping you then to do like a Moose Jaws comic, like a follow up?
Well, you remember when did he mention it? Maybe it was I want to say it was a few months ago that he mentioned that maybe Moose Jaws is where he kills off Silent Bob.
Oh boy. Okay,
and that was just kind of, you know, you just kind of left that little nugget out there, and I'm like, oh, wow, what would happen? And you know, hearing so much about Moose Jaws and how it's going to be a shot for shot copy of Jaws, just done in Manitoba or in a Winnipeg Wheatfield, I'm like, wow, what would my idea be of it? You know, we were walking out of Sundance last, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and I said, I kind of have your death in a 4-page comic spread, how Silent Bob would die in Jaws, in Moose Jaws. He's like, no way.
Idea.
And I'm like, yeah, man, I just kind of played around with some ideas, and I've kind of started doing a comic book of it. He's like, no way, dude, send that to me. And he's like, hell yeah, I'll send you the whole fucking Moose Jaws script. I'm like, done deal. So yeah, whether he meant it or not, I don't, you know, That'd be cool if you did. But I,
ladies and gentlemen, you heard it first on Jim's Barbecue. On Jim's Barbecue, we have breaking fucking pop culture news.
I am illustrating
not even that. Not even that's been told on Bleeding Cool.
No,
that's right, man.
I was just gonna say, watch, Dylan's gonna throw a blurb out on Bleeding Cool. Like, heard it. Too bad the webpage isn't up with episodes, because
yeah, because really then I could it. Source it. Like, Dylan, yeah. Where'd you get this information from? A podcast? Which one? It's not up yet.
You have a bit of a turf war with Bleeding Cool.
I, you know, and it's another one of those things. It's funny the way it worked out. Is that the whole Yoga Hosers cartoon worked out while I was on a very long, mundane conference call. And the whole thing worked out the same way for this, that I was on a conference call. It was going forever into its third hour. And I just started sketching, you know, in a notebook. What would happen if Silent Bob died of a moose attack? And that's where this whole thing happened, man. And it's, probably 25% already developed. So, you know,
my thought is Silent Bob goes skinny dipping in a Manitoba lake.
Just think, meanwhile, in a Manitoba wheat field. That's all you got to think. It's different. It's different. And that's the whole thing with what Tusk was, what Yoga Hosers is, and what Moose Jaws is going to be. Like, Kevin really gave a great wrap up to what he felt that that Moose Jaws was going to be. And I can, you know, I got no problem reporting this, because he said it in front of Sundance's audience. The end of Moose Jaws, the way Kevin reports it, is that all three monsters are going to come back and fight. You're going to have the walrus, you're going to have the Goldie Golem from Yoga Hosers, and you're going to have this moose. And that's the way the Moose Jaws is going to end. It's going to be this epic battle between three evil forces. And I'm like, whoa.
How is the walrus going to fight? It can't even move.
I know.
I think that this is got to be like, I mean,
how
Dylan's got to be
long pull all that off. It's like
Dylan's got to be getting like a hard on, because I know how much of a Godzilla fan he is. This just kind of reeks of like a Godzilla movie.
This is like bigger than when he fought King Kong. I mean, shit. Yeah. It's like, you don't just have Godzilla fighting King Kong. You don't have Godzilla fighting Rodan and King Kong. You have a man in a walrus suit thing that can barely move. A demonic goalie. What's it called again?
The Goldie Golem.
I don't know what it can do, but it has legs and arms, and I assume can kill you. And a big fucking moose. And as we all know, you don't fuck with a moose.
Dude, yeah. The Goldie Golem is kick ass. And even Jeff called it before I even seen Yoga Hosers. He's like, I already know that we're gonna leave the show, and you're gonna be like, we need a fucking Golden Golem's jersey. We walked out. I think
Jim's already got it designed.
It's, I think I shut the door and I looked at him and I'm like, you called that one. I seen him and I'm like, God, this guy screams fucking Jersey Crest. I mean, the Goldie Golem's kick ass.
Yeah, the Goldie Golem, I don't, if you Google it, it was kind of released in Comic-Con.
Yeah.
They came out and they showed it, but you know, for the most part, a lot of the Yoga Hosers stuff was kept really secret, which I'm really surprised. You know, I'm surprised that not a lot more had leaked out. But the whole Goldie Golem thing, that's when you're looking at monsters, it just fits so well in with the whole Tusk thing. You know, the walrus, you know, Wallace and his transformation. You know, it's obvious they got the same dude to make this monster who made the walrus outfit. But, you know, if this is any, you know, kind of nod to where Moose Jaws is going, then it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, like Kevin was the first to sit there at the end of this and say, "I'm sorry." You know,
considering that I just Googled Gully Gollum and found a box of the Bratzies.
Oh, did you?
That's just Kevin, right?
Yeah, the Bratzies are Kevin.
But like every single one is Kevin.
Every single one of them is Kevin. That's
just downright disturbing.
It's going to be like, I'm like, God damn it, dude, you got to make action figures of these because I'll be the first in line to buy them. You know, little 12-inch Bratzy Kevins. I'm like, sign me up, man. These are awesome.
I wish you'd bring back the in-action figure line. I love those.
Yeah, oh, those are so great. Yeah.
It could be like a just strange.
Yeah, the movie, and I think I told you guys last week when we talked, you know, I've read a couple different reviews on it. The one, I think, Hollywood Reporter just fucking tore it apart. But
Hollywood Reporter was horrible, man.
You know, I enjoyed it.
Obviously, hold on a second. The Hollywood Reporter...
You be quiet when Quigley is speaking.
You be quiet. I want you to hear this. The guy the man or woman who wrote the Hollywood Reporter critique on this movie obviously didn't stay around to the end of the movie. Because the end of the movie, the Goldie Gotham is unleashed to kill critics. Negative critics. And it's like, well, you wouldn't have gone and done something as stupid as giving it a negative critique on this movie if you would have stuck around. And the fact with the Hollywood Reporter... What I found was even weirder is that they didn't even reference Garmin right. You know, they're like, you know, this guy who does ventriloquism and odd voices. Who is this man? It's like, really? So, anyways, it's a Kevin Smith movie for Kevin Smith fans, and everybody else isn't invited. You can definitely watch it, but if you don't get it, then you know what? Don't bitch and complain because you just don't get the type of person that he is.
I love when Jeff does other voices. He kind of goes into like almost like a Malcolm Ingram voice.
Yeah. In fact, one of the Colleens, I think it was Harley, even said at 1.2. when they were fighting the Brachis or whatever, didn't she's like, I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Yeah. Tony. Yeah, she did that. I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Oh, that probably popped the car out a little bit.
Yeah. You could tell who got it, who didn't, but you know, it, like I was telling you guys, I enjoyed the movie way better than Tusk. You know, it brought back a lot of it wasn't dick and fart joke humor, but it was humor. It was the Kevin Smith humor we all loved. You know, and especially having a teenage daughter, I think I got a lot more out of it with, you know, the looks and the, you know, the phone, the, you know, just all the stuff that the exaggerated teenage girl stuff. And at one point, I think when he was giving his talk, I don't know if it was before or after the movie, he said it was the movie he always wanted to see when he was a teenage girl.
Yeah.
12-year-old teenage girl or whatever. And it is. It's funny. I really did enjoy it. So hopefully I'll get to watch it with you guys. We'll have a pickup weekend in Jersey or for some hockey or something, play poker, watch a show or something.
How about this? How about if we if we see it before we see it together, how about like if we did like a Jim's BBQ podcast commentary while watching it?
Absolutely. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would actually, it would be better if we seen it before, if we all see it first and then did that
right. That's what I was saying.
Yeah. That would be fun.
Yeah. I mean, why the hell not? I mean, we got to go where the puck is going to be.
Right.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah, you know, I come up with a gem occasionally. So, I mean, the movie and everything, man, the adventure that you went on sounds amazing, but was there anything else? I mean, I know I saw a video where you're standing and Harry Potter ran by you. Were there any other like highlights of this trip that just jump out there? And that, I mean, Jim didn't give us a whole lot when we initially talked to him about it, and he kind of wanted it to be like your story. So was there anything else that stood out on that weekend or week, or how many days were you there?
We got there on a Saturday and we left Tuesday morning.
Okay, so like long weekend is fair enough.
Yeah.
No, he was too petrified from Jim's driving. He's just like, I can't.
I think
he's still going through counseling.
No. Yeah, you know what? I think the first screening, the midnight screening, was interesting. I thought it was, wow, I'm at a midnight screening. I'm with my kid. Got a Q&A with Kev afterwards, but it wasn't as personal as the second screening, which is the one that Jim and Daryl got into with us as well when we were at the Mark. And for me, I think what really capped it off is, you know, Kev made mention of the comic in his closing statements, everything like that. But then we got backstage and we were in the green room and Jim and Daryl were there as well. And there was a lot of interaction and stuff like that. It wasn't until a little bit later when the vans had shown up and everybody's leaving and Kevin's people are saying, Kevin, the vans are here, we're all going. And Kevin's like, no, I'm hanging out for a bit. It wasn't until I was walking across the parking lot, I was going to our van that Jim was going to, and Kevin was going to his van, and it was just that interaction between him and I where we were just shooting the shit, and it was like, you know, wow, this really came together, and I want to thank you, Kev. And he's like, no, man, this was a joint effort, and there was just this banter back and forth. And that's where the whole, you know, I got an idea for Moose Jaws, and he's like, yeah, man, I'd love to see it, and that connection just happened, and I went, wow, this is the coolest moment of my life. Everything up until this point wasn't cool, and now this point is very cool, and it didn't even seem like it was that big of a deal, you know, it was just two guys shooting the shit. And two creative people thinking of really fucked up weird shit. And that's the way it came off. And to me, that's what stands out about Sundance, was that last 3 minutes outside the Merck Theater talking to Kevin about everyday normal shit. And that's it, man. That was just...
Before you got back into the vehicle and had to drive back to the hotel with Jim.
with Jim driving.
Yes, yeah. Fucking
Jim driving, man. And with Jim driving going, oh my God, everything I've worked up to now could be dead in 2 minutes.
That would be such like a, I mean, think about that. Like if like that occurred, like how big that comic book would be. It would be like Stevie Ray Vaughan level of like, yeah, you died in the helicopter crash, but like your last creative output was like this comic book, and then like it would just be huge.
Yeah, look at Stevie Ray Vaughan Quigley.
Yes,
I was thinking more Eddie and the Cruisers, but
oh, like a big bopper and
yeah, you know, just
yeah, like, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I went a little more recent.
Jimmy. Look at me, I'm just a fizzle on the side of a Utah mountain.
Like Richie Valens and Big Bopper and Eddie and the Cruisers, yeah.
But you get it, you know. I think Jim gets it too. You know, I mean, it was just
utterly surreal. I guess
yeah, it was surreal. Yeah. And I appreciate any kind of, you know, access that Kev's been able to give us. Man, it's like, yeah. it's he's great. You know. It, yeah.
I think that's the best way I could put like the interactions, the limited interactions I've had with him over the years have been utterly surreal.
Yeah, he is definitely a man who allows his public to gain access, and sure. And that's what probably has has taken, you know, it's something that, you know, when he decided, oh, that's it, I'm done with film. I don't even know where I'm going with this, but there's a lot of people that really, really like what he does, and they'd follow him anywhere. And I think that's the beauty of his interaction with his fans.
Yeah.
Right. Without sounding like a stalker.
All right. So, you know, one of the things that we were talking about having you on this, and we'd been talking about it for some time, but we knew the Sundance thing was coming up, and, you know, we knew we wanted to talk to you about it afterwards because we thought that would just, you know, generate some really good content. But we came up with some ideas, and we wanted to pitch them to you.
Sure. Shoot.
This is going to be good.
Okay, so Jim and I came up with an idea together. We kind of brainstormed this and put our heads together, and we came up with a superhero character that we think you might be interested in.
Okay, yeah, I'm ready.
And I mean, it's totally, I mean, it just screams Jim. It absolutely screams Jim all day. It's Jersey Man.
Okay, Jersey Man. Yeah.
So he puts.
He's not a guy from New Jersey.
Yeah, not a New Jersey.
Not a guy from New Jersey. But mind you, he could be, but he puts on a hockey jersey, and he gains the powers of whatever is on that jersey.
Okay, all right.
It sucks.
give me an example of the jersey he's putting on. Like, is it? Oh, look, it's Chicken Wing Man.
No, it's like we'll throw out one of our teams, like the Leonardo Reapers. So he gets the power to control death, or control life, or whatever it is that death does.
Something Reaper like would. That.
Yeah, the Reaper. The power of the Reaper.
Yeah.
yeah, just said it all.
we'll take that as a no.
It would definitely have to be something different than just the Reapers.
Well, oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
No,
yeah.
Any jersey.
Because that's... As we've talked about in the past, that's just driving with fucking Jim, man. He controls life and death just, you know, at the wheel of his Grand Cherokee.
Why don't you just do a spoof of, like, Driving Miss Daisy, but called, like, yeah. Driving with Jim?
So, I mean, you can imagine, I mean, like, how, like, horrible it would be, like, if he accidentally put on the wrong jersey. Like, he put on, like, a Toronto Maple Leafs jersey.
Oh, burn!
And he just, like, he fell from a tree and just kind of floated to the ground, and that was it.
Wow.
Yeah. wouldn't help him a whole lot, would it?
Yeah, you guys haven't been scripting any of this stuff yet, have you?
No, not at all.
Jim in a Leafs jersey. Well, that doesn't do anything, but that doesn't help anybody. Not even the Leafs. Not even with their new logo.
Okay, how about this? How about this? I got it.
All right, shoot.
So,
all right, I'm ready
okay.
for it.
So he puts on a Tampa
guys,
Bay
guys, jersey. Guys.
He puts on a Tampa Bay Lightning jersey, and he could shoot out lightning bolts out of his hands.
Yeah, it'd be better out of his butt.
Huh?
It'd be better out of his butt. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
if Dylan's, I mean, if Dylan is a character. I'm sure he could shoot lightning out of his ass.
Well, if I put on a Calgary Flames jersey, then that now we're talking.
Oh. Oh, how about if he put on, like, you ever see, like, how they, like, combine, like, two jerseys, like they sew them together? How about if he had, like, Lightning and Flames, like a Lightning and Flames jersey sewn together? So, like, he was shooting lightning and flames out of his ass at the same time.
Like a stream of fire that was surrounded by a bolt of lightning?
Yeah.
That sounds like it would hurt.
Where do you guys want to go with this, though?
To the money pit, hopefully.
Let's say, for example, that even we came up with a superhero that could shoot lightning and flames out of his anus. And be in clad in really cool jerseys. What would his task be? Where would
Do you think we could get some sort of endorsement from the NHL?
I mean, come on, Marvel did like a whole bunch of shit for them, didn't they? Oh, no, Stan Lee did, right?
I think you could, as long as it was the Canadian side of the NHL, because we're desperate for teams up here, so we'd back anything. We could probably figure out a way to get the Nordiques wrapped around this somehow. You know, because we've only got, what, six teams, and this year we might not even make playoffs this year. So, yeah.
I mean, no clearly problem. The Flames would be the strongest one out of the Canadian teams.
Oh, God, no.
No, I mean, as far as, like, as far as what the logo and everything represents. I mean, it's you know what I'm saying? Like, not necessarily, like, the superpower. What would come from that jersey? I mean, really, what would come from the Nordiques jersey? What you would know, you get out of it?
You're the Oilers.
Yeah, the Oilers. Well, the Oilers might actually not be bad. I mean, it would be what would you get out of a Montreal Canadiens jersey?
sorry.
No, it'd be French.
Sorry, yeah, I can speak fluent French.
All right, so that was Jim and I. That was our idea. Doesn't sound.
I just want to put it out there. This is not my idea, but for whatever reason, yeah, I'm not even going to pitch it because it wasn't my idea.
Yes, it was.
Well, we didn't know what your idea was. We thought you had some idea about, like, a comic that was also a porn or something, but
what?
You were just talking about it last night.
I'm not gonna make a porno comic.
What's wrong with porno comics?
If you nothing, but I'm not gonna do one. I don't know, Jeff.
Oh, it sounds like Jeff's on board for the porno comic. So there's your chance.
He seems to like it better than Jersey Man.
Wait a minute, that could be going along with your coloring book idea, Jeff.
Well, there's a lot more interesting stories you could do with a comic book porno thingy than Jim in a jersey.
Come on, who doesn't have exciting adventures with me when I'm wearing hockey jerseys?
More like terrifying.
Hey, you guys heard that Jim's going to start juicing, right?
Yep.
What?
He's going to start juicing.
Actually, picking it up tomorrow, man.
He's picking it up tomorrow.
You mean you're just going to listen to the soundtrack over and over again?
I'm only doing that to derail the whole porno comic.
Wait, what are you going to do? Like, listen to, like, Gin and Juice?
Oh, no. How much have you lost now? 25 pounds, Quig?
Yeah, I'm down 25 pounds now. 25 pounds as of this morning.
So, I mean, there's no... I'm sorry, go ahead.
And that's since the 4th of January. Total transformation, man. It's incredible.
Yep, picking up tomorrow. Right, going to start doing it. Actually, I need to get the recipe from you that you're using. But I am not a vegetable person at all. And like you said, you know, what, half a lemon, throw some ginger in there, counteract the vegetable taste.
Yeah, earthy tone.
Can you put, say, like a Pramati Brothers sandwich into the blender, too?
You can put whatever you want in. It's not a blender, it's a juicer.
I'm going to try it.
You know, it's...
I was just trying to give Jim more options.
Oh, you know what? I guarantee you, you could put a pepperoni pizza in there and juice the hell out of it. It's going to taste great. But that I jumped onto it after, and after Christmas, and man, I'm telling you, I can see why Kev lost 85 pounds.
Does he do the juicing too?
What's that? Sorry, Dylan?
Did he do the juicing? Is that how he lost the weight?
He did a lot of sugar-free stuff.
I don't know if he's still doing the juicing that he was doing back when he first started mentioning it in one of the podcasts. But I jumped onto it, and just after Christmas, bought a juicer. Vegetables will kill you, man, financially. Holy Jesus Christ, it's hard to eat vegetables. And
well, you guys probably don't have vegetables where you are.
With the Canadian dollar where it is right now, like, I'm paying like $7 for friggin' celery. It's crazy. It's nuts. It's nuts.
We have like farmers markets here that grow all that shit, and it's cheap.
Yeah.
Jeff, there's your first problem. Celery is fucking disgusting.
Dude, celery is a juicy, juicy treat.
It is a disgusting, disgusting piece of shit vegetable. I hate it. It's one of my least favorite things ever.
Yeah, but it's blended up. I don't know. It's got to be different. The thing that I found most interesting about your juicing story to me, other than you inspired me to try it and, you know, I need to do something, was the fact that you told me, what was it, like 3 days you started craving it?
Oh, man.
I mean, how do you do that, like, if you're traveling?
It was tough. Like, it was tough when we were at Sundance. I had to eat vegan foods, and it was only, you know, I had to try and avoid. and you guys both know how Jim and Daryl eat.
I just heard Daryl just does Metamucil by like the truffle.
No.
The old man.
Being at a restaurant with Jim and Daryl, it's like they take everything from the menu, put it on the table, slam it into their face, and whatever goes in their mouth, they chew. The rest,
like Jeff's, like I put my hand down at one point. Next thing I knew, it was in Daryl's mouth.
Exactly.
He thought it was a sausage.
Everything is everywhere. There's carcasses everywhere.
Like we had three waiters. That's because the first two were killed and eaten.
I did go and visit Jim in December. I don't know if you recall this, Jeff, or not, but like on a car ride, he was talking with you about some jersey designs and whatnot.
That's right. You guys were on your way somewhere, right?
Yeah, we were going to a Pens game. But like, yeah, I went there, right? And everything there, it's no wonder that Jim wants to try this, because everything there that we ate were like in the form of large sandwiches.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, dude, these super humongous amazing, large sandwiches, everything. And everything was on the sandwiches, the French fries, the coleslaw, all of it was between two pieces of bread.
Yeah, Permanente Brothers is the bomb, but Fatheads was really good.
I mean, that's the problem I think with like juicing for me is the problem is I like my juice in the form of alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
As do I.
What do you say the goal is, or at least what I'm going to try, is you do two juicing meals a day and then a protein meal or whatever, but you went completely vegan. I can't do that. I'll probably eat like chicken and I don't know, some kind of
If you're going to do chicken and you can't get rid of all the you can't get to vegan, do two juices a day and then try and stick to as much organically, locally grown stuff that you can get your hands on. It's not that chicken is bad for you. It's not that meat is bad for you. What's bad for you is this overproduced crap that is just forced on us. And I've noticed it, I've only been stopping this for a month, and I notice it right away. It's getting rid of sugars, getting rid of that. And you know what? It was funny. The first person I saw in Sundance was Katie Couric, and she was the one that did that documentary, Fed Up, that Kevin watched last year, that completely changed his way of thinking when it comes to food and sugars and stuff like that. And watch that stuff, man. We're being fed this crap. And if you can get yourself out of it, it's only going to make yourself feel better. I feel 100 times better than I did 2 months ago. So, and I'm you know what? I was a sucker for chicken wings and beers and all that crap. And,
Swiss Chalet.
Yeah, man. I'm drinking this juice stuff that I never thought that I would ever be able to tolerate. And I'm craving it now. Every morning I wake up going, holy shit, this is awesome. I step on the scale and I'm 2 pounds lighter again. I was a fat bastard. And I'm getting down to the point where it's like, holy shit, I can see my dick again.
Get in my belly.
So,
yeah, exactly.
This is great.
Are you talking to
Kev? What?
You're like, I can see my dick again. Get in my belly. Yeah,
exactly, man.
Well, you're so doing Dylan, it with Lucy, too, right?
What are you getting at?
Yeah, Lucy's juicing with you also, isn't she?
Yeah, Lucy's been juicing with me since day one.
Cool.
So Dylan, Lucy? you're not going to pitch your porno comic?
Dude, I think I just came up with the title for it.
What's that?
I can see Juicy my dick
Lucy.
Loose Lucy?
I can see my dick juicing Lucy.
No, Juicy Lucy.
Juicy Lucy.
Dude, I got the plot of it.
What's funny is last night, I can't remember the gist of it, but you're right, Mike. He had something he was like, I'm going to bring that up to Quigley, but it was porno related. We bring it up. You're like, no, there's no idea I've ever had.
No, I really don't remember what we were talking about last night because I was kind of drunk, but I think that's the plot of the porno comic is going to be, it's going to be called Juicy Lucy, and it's about a guy and a girl, Jeff and Lucy, and they meet at like the local organic food market, whatever, and they're like, oh, what are you doing? Oh, I'm buying some stuff to juice. I just started. Oh, so did I. Oh, well, why
let us fuck.
Like, oh, let's, you want to come back to my place and talk about juice? Be like, oh, yeah.
No, they can't be like, oh, yeah. We got to be, yeah.
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 Well, Jeff's seen Making a Murderer. Remember when everybody was having the phone conversations, Jeff, and Making a Murderer? And they'd be like, Brandon or, Steven be talking to somebody, and they're like, you know, so, yeah, chicken and pork and lunch today. Yeah.
Good
yeah.
for you guys.
I'm going to try it, man. It's going to be tough, dude. I just hope I have the willpower because it's going to be hard for me.
Think about how felt you'll look when we go on the cruise next year.
You'll look as good as me, Jim.
I want to look good for you, Dylan, because that's the goal.
Just for me?
Yeah, I know. I mean, who else is there to look good for?
Look, yeah, I'm serious, guys. Man, like Branford, you guys are going to look awesome. Yep. You guys juice. You guys do what you got to do.
We're going to have a glow about us.
And you'll look awesome.
That's another good point. You're making the trip to Branford this year, is at least the plan.
I'm hoping to.
Yeah.
Oh, right on.
Yeah,
we could have you on another episode of Jim's BBQ podcast at that point.
True.
Well, apparently I'm supposed to be doing the logo for this show too. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jim was supposed to contract you about that, I think.
Oh, there's been discussion. And then after I pitched the whole thing like that we were doing, he's like, for a t-shirt and a logo? Bah!
Well, can I tell you guys what I was going to start doing? I think probably starting next week. So, speaking of like fitness, nutrition, and all that stuff.
Well, you were going to start a diet, right?
Well, yeah, but I was also going to do like a yoga program.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You going to plank?
What?
You going to plank?
Plank? I don't even know what the fuck that is.
Look up planking. I don't know a lot about it, but supposedly...
Is that something sexy or something?
No,
I don't know. It's
if you do it right. But...
I'm gonna be doing
I do not know what planking is.
It's just when you like lay down in random places.
No. It is, but...
Like, it's like the description of utterly laziness. It's like lie down,
okay.
Take a photo, and that's what planking is.
No, the exercise part of it. You like you stand on the like balls of your feet and like your toes like push up. And then your forearms, you like plant yourself like that. And it's supposed to be like, I don't know, some kind of like, if you look at, just look it up, it'll show you what muscles it supposedly does. And you do it for like, start out at 15 seconds a day and then get up and like take breaks as you go longer and longer. It's supposedly going to increase, it's supposedly really good for your muscles. But
I'm doing a specific program. I'm doing the DDP yoga.
I was just going to ask
you. Are you guys doing DDP?
I'm gonna start it. I'm gonna start it seriously next week.
The diamond
cutter. My wife's been doing it. She loves it.
Yeah, I'm gonna start it next week, and as we go on in the podcast, I'll let everybody know how I progress.
Is Kimberly in the DDP yoga?
She actually helps him run it. I think I read it or read or no, I listened to an interview with DDP maybe a year or so ago, and she's like helping him out with like the business end of it.
Yeah, because I'll tell you what, that would be enough motivation for me right there.
What? Like you would succeed at the yoga and somehow you'd end up with Kimberly?
No. Just her being on the videotapes and doing the yoga.
Oh. Oh, wouldn't it? I guess that might be. But would you get more off if it was just DDP there and like he's just like screaming at you in his like New Jersey accent?
Is it the long hair version of DDP or the short hair version?
I don't know. On like the little manual type deal that they have with it, he's got shorter hair.
I don't know. Long hair DDP maybe.
All right. Well, Jeff, it doesn't sound like either of our comic book pitches really work too well for you.
I think he liked the porno one better, though.
I'm all for porno.
Okay.
There you go.
I mean, in all seriousness, I think Dylan might have some sort of idea he wants to pitch to you, but that doesn't need to happen on the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Unless he wants it to be on the podcast.
No, I didn't really have an idea to pitch. I just wanted to see if you'd be interested in maybe doing something.
Yeah, he's thinking furries or something like that.
I know. He's beat red right now.
He wants you to know. He wants to know if you want to do something with him.
Ooh.
Mm.
Yeah, I want to make that porno comic a reality.
Hmm.
No, guys, honest, there's no porno comic, no.
Dylan's just got to get over the fact that I'm really not famous, so he doesn't have to be embarrassed. He can call me.
You're famous on Jim's Barbecue.
Jim's Barbecue!
Woo!
Was that
so? With you on the juicing thing, do you not consume any alcohol anymore?
Oh no, God no. let's.
Yeah, you know, like he throws a little vodka into the juice. You know, nobody
no,
notices.
No. Let's draw a line in the sand. There's eating and there's drinking, and I am not eating. I'll leave the rest up to you.
Fair enough.
You know, it's. There's almost, you can't, I can't give up every vice that I had. You know, consuming copious amounts of beer and chicken wings and everything like that has had a really bad effect on my physique.
So
I've conquered that.
You're a wine drinker though, right?
Yeah, as we say, it's, I drink box wine, so I'm a... What do they say? Is cardboard A or something like that? I don't know. Huh. Anyway, but yeah, you know, I'm a wine drinker. I enjoy a glass of wine at night. So does my wife. But when it comes to eating the shit that we used to eat, I don't do that anymore.
I'm just saying, because there was a time like when I first met Jeff and. And Jeff had probably close to a full bottle of white wine. And I was like, I barely know this man, and I hope he is always like this, because he was fucking hilarious.
When was that, Dylan?
I was in last January. And then we went outside, and we walked out of the hotel, and it was myself and our friend Dave and a couple other guys. And Jeff tagged along with us. And as we're walking outside, we're walking through the hotel lobby out of the bar or something like that. And there's this cop just hanging out in the hotel lobby.
Oh, dude, the cop!
And we're going outside, and Jeff's just like, guys, what the fuck are you doing? We're like, what do you mean, what the fuck are we doing? We're just going outside. Like, guys, there's a fucking cop in there with a fucking... gun. He's gonna come out here. He's gonna fucking shoot you. What? Why? What are we doing wrong? He goes, guys, he has a gun. Like, dude, calm down. And Jeff got very upset. And like clearly hates cops as much as the rest of the United States.
Well, do the cops in Canada carry guns?
No. I do not hate police enforcement.
Just in Wisconsin.
What really got me is the fact that this dude just looked like somebody out of fucking Black Mass that was just going to take me aside and shoot me and leave me in a ditch somewhere. And I'm like, that's the Canadian
in New Jersey kind of feel that I had. I'm like, what the fuck is this guy? He's eyeballing me from a, it's a fucking wedding reception. He's in a fucking suit. He's eyeballing me. And I see a fucking sidearm. I'm like, oh, fuck.
We just want to add, Jeff was certainly more than three seats to the wind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know,
meanwhile, the other three Canadians and the Jersey boy are just like, yeah, whatever.
Don't fucking sell. Don't short sell this, man. It was fucking epic. Don't short sell it. This guy was like everything that was like fucking Johnny Depp playing fucking what's his face, man. He was like, this guy's gonna take me out by the fucking Jersey rail, and that's it. I'm done.
Now imagine.
I'm looking at you guys going, how the fuck are you not seeing this, guys? Seriously.
Because we're probably like, well, we're drunk too, so we're not seeing straight. We're like, whatever. It's like, we're not doing anything wrong.
Yeah. Not Canadian.
And I'm sure Dave was like, oh, it's fine, guys. I'm with Dylan. He's from New Jersey, you know?
Yeah.
He's not white entirely. He's street.
Ah, come on, see?
It's fine. And then Chris, yeah, yeah. Like, guys.
Fucking Seymour, man.
I got to admit, man, it was just one of those weird things where I look across the room and a guy opens up his jacket and I see a sidearm and I'm like, that's it. I'm fucking dead. I'm dying in the Americas tonight.
You're dying in a fucking hotel in New Jersey.
But what a way to go!
Yeah, but what a way to go. I walk
just
outside,
think there'd be no funeral costs. They would know what to do with the body.
Like if you right. die in fucking if you die in New Jersey, that's cool. If you die in Musquodoboit Harbor, Nova Scotia, it's like what the fuck happened, man? It's how like, fucking fail?
He stayed outside past 9 o'clock. We all know it's too cold up there to be outside past 9 o'clock.
Did the fucking coyotes get you? Jesus.
You know, at least here we could have been like, oh yeah, there was a huge shootout and it was like you know, there was some mobsters and like, I know, it was just a crooked cop.
Yeah, man, that's what makes the beauty of that whole scenario that we experienced, as fucked up as it was.
I'm just gonna say right now, it was not fucked up, but whatever.
It was fucked up, man. A Canadian guy does not walk up to a guy and see a guy with a fucking sidearm. It doesn't happen in Canada.
You know, I guess that's fair.
You know, I walk down the street and if I see a gun, it's, you know, it's a fucking shotgun on the back of a truck that's locked up, and oh, there's probably a whole bunch of fucking constitutional stuff tagged to it. In the U.S., when a guy fucking opens up his fucking jacket and I see a shot or a fucking sidearm, I go, ooh, that's badass shit. That's it. Good night. Bye.
Where are you guys going?
He leans on the wall, assumes a position.
Yeah. I love Americans. I think fucking America is awesome. But you scare the fuck out of me.
Especially the driving there, huh?
Well, yeah.
The driving of one particular Ohioan.
Yeah, that's fucking Eddleston.
So we're wrapping up this episode.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/JimsBBQPod. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at JimsBBQPod. You can also email us at JimsBBQPod@gmail.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes.
And we'll thank Jeff Quigley for showing up and hanging out with us tonight and telling us a fucking amazing story, Jeff. It was just unreal, like all that happened with you, you know?
All right, man. That's awesome. I'm glad you guys had me here.
Of course, we had Dylan Gonzalez with us.
Yep, as always.
And Jim Eddleston, as always.
Yeah.
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 All right. Well, Jeff, we normally have our guests do this, so we're going to have you close out the show for us for tonight.
All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Jim's Barbecue, where we always encourage you to get your meat before you take your seat.
See ya.
Bye. Is that right?
You got
that
it right.
Perfect.
I
dead
fucking
on.
Hope so.
You're a professional.
You want to do it again?
What?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you want to do it again, by all means, man.
Hey, no,
I mean, the audio was a little, but.
Yeah. Are you on speakerphone now? Or?
Yeah, I'm on speakerphone. I got my phone here. I'll do it one more time. Ready? Okay.
Yeah,
three,
go ahead.
Two, one. Thanks for visiting Jim's Barbecue, where we always encourage you to get your meat by taking what?
Oh, he fucked it up.
Ba-doom-tsh.
What's that?
Wah, 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 wah.
Get your meat by what?
Before
get
you take your
meat
seat.
Before you take your seat.
Before you take your seat. Okay. I couldn't understand what the fuck I wrote there. Okay. All right. We'll do that one more time, guys. You ready? Here we go. Three, two, one. Hey, man, thanks to Jim's Barbecue, where we always encourage you to get your meat before you take your seat. Is that right?
No.
Apparently that juicing is really fucking affecting them.
Dylan,
you're like, thanks to Jim's Barbecue, where you can always it's thanks for visiting Jim's BBQ. All right, I'm going to do it one more time. Ready?
Yep.
Yes.
Fuck. I suck.
Jeez.
Dude, this got to go on the bloopers one.
Okay.
Oh, we might use them all.
Here we go. Three, two, one. Hey, thanks.
Oh, my God.
Hey, thanks to Jim's Barbecue.
Thanks for visiting Jim's Barbecue.
Hey.
Why are you?
Stop it! Stop talking! I'm doing this!
So Kevin's just going to hear all this and go, no, we're not going to put him in the movie, the next movie. He can't even read a fucking line.
Hey, thanks for visiting Jim's Barbecue, where we always encourage you to get your meat before you take your seat.
Woo!
Ding, 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 ding.
That was great.
Got it.
Is that okay?
Yeah, perfect.
That was perfect.
I was trying so hard not to laugh.
Oh.